It's been a really exciting time for me personally and for my family. Many of you may not know, but initially Annie and I, we were planning to come to Hong Kong for 3 months. And the timing of that even was all coordinated by God. Some of you guys may remember Hyge Kim. He moved to Tokyo for his work. And basically, when we had decided that we wanted to come to Hong Kong, God perfectly managed that 3 months period where we needed to have a place to stay. And from that point, God continued to do a lot more. I signed up for a course with Experiencing God, the EG course that Pastor Sam leads discipling. And that also just really, God began to really teach and open a lot more in my life. I've been able to see God operate in places that, you know, in a while I haven't really been able to be a part of. And when my son was born, I remember just 4 days afterwards, I was sitting there, and I was kind of overcome with a lot of emotions, you know, obviously being our first child. And I just had this sense like God was going to take care of everything. I actually had to buy some formula to supplement Annie's feeding of Micah. And so I went to City Super, and I had an idea of what I wanted to get. It was Enfamil, you know, to feed Micah on top of what Annie was already giving. And I don't know what kind of look I must have had, but I was there, and I asked the worker, you know, can you kind of give me some information on what type of formula is good, you know, the differences between this and that. And she started going into all this stuff, and I think I was there a good 20 minutes, and she kept going into this and that. And then she started going into some type of a homegrown formula. I don't know if you guys are familiar, but basically you take a fish and you take some papaya, and she started naming some of these other roots and vegetables that I had never even heard about. And she's like, take this. And she's asking me, are you writing this down? Are you getting all this? And in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm not going to give my wife fish and papaya. I don't want to make her sick. And so, you know, in my as nicely and as kindly as I could, I just kind of started retreating, like, you know, well, thank you. You know, I got to take this in. She just stopped, and she looked at me. And she just looked at me, and she said, you know, I worry for you. Yeah, and I've never met this person in my life. And I don't know, I'm trying to imagine, you know, what sort of look I must have had. You know, what my hair, what my clothes. And she just said, you know, and I just walked away. She said, man, I just worry for you. And even in that, you know, as I went home, God really was speaking to me and telling me, you know, he's going to take care of everything. He's going to take care of my son. Some of you guys know he has chicken pox. Thank you for your prayers. Annie had it 2 weeks ago. And afterwards, the doctor said most likely he will have it. But even in this, I know that God's going to take care of everything. And one of the things that I was really blessed by in my time in my discipleship course with Pastor Sam in EG was this idea of waiting around, waiting for the Lord. It's not an easy thing to do. And looking to see where God is already at work. And I recognized as I was experiencing, you know, even us coming here to Solomon's Porch, we were only supposed to be here for 3 months. It's something that Annie and I had talked about in April of last year. We talked about possibly pastoring again, specifically in children's ministry. And this is all prior to ever even knowing that Solomon's Porch was looking for an education pastor. And so we had plans just to keep our eyes open. You know, we didn't make it a formal prayer. We didn't say, God, you know, bring us something. We simply talked about it. It was on our hearts, and we left it open for the Lord. It was when we came here that we found out, as Pastor Sam shared, that you guys were actually looking for an education and children's pastor. And so Annie and I, we began to pray. We began to fast. And it was during this time, you know, with EG, and I was really able to apply some of the principles that were being taught. And, of course, these are things that, you know, as Christians, we all sort of live out. But it was really critical, really helpful for me to be able to really see it the way what's his name? Henry Blackaby kind of puts it out. And so we went into a time of fasting and prayer, and we had this confidence, just this sense that God had something for us. I didn't go any deeper than that, but we were praying, and we were so confident that God had a word for us. And so we just continued seeking. We continued praying. It was a Wednesday night Bible study I believe at Mike Cho's house. And again, just continually fellowshipping with the Lord, being in prayer, being open to receiving what he has, knowing that he had something for us. And it was at that time, I sensed, I think it was during worship towards the end, and God said, you know what, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you what you need to do before the other two candidates. And that really relieved us. Annie and I, we had a lot of concerns. We have our ministry in China that's ongoing. We have my church in California that's supporting the work we do. We're wondering about the timing, how everything's going to fit in. Obviously, these other two candidates, how are things going to pan out with that? And God basically made clear to us, well, it's not going to be dependent on them. And so I got excited, and I wanted to go tell Annie. And it so happened that same moment, that same night, that she had also received that confirmation. And God has spoken to us separately that he's going to let us know exactly where he wants us to be. It wasn't a few days even after that, in continual prayer and fasting, that God had confirmed in both of our hearts that we would be indeed a part of Solomon's Porch. And it wasn't, at that point, we didn't know if we would be on staff as a pastor, but we confirmed in our hearts that God was indeed doing something here in Solomon's Porch, and that we had seen this and he wanted us to be a part of this. So we committed. If that meant living with Annie's parents in Shenzhen and coming back and forth, we knew that this was a place that God wanted us to be. And then praise God, I mean, just a few days after that, Pastor Sam and the leadership here offered us the position. And it was just amazing because it wasn't even a formal prayer request that we asked. God knew the longings in our hearts. God knew what we needed. And he planned all these things out. And Annie and I, we were saying, specifically, I remember we were in Beijing on our green couch, and we were just praying, you know, God's going to bring something to us. You know, we're going to be able to pastor again. And I really believe that these are things, the way that God works in our lives, these are things that we can miss. You know, God is doing all these things, and we can not see or recognize them if we're not really fellowshipping, if we're not in tune, if our hearts aren't connected with the Lord. So I want to read a passage today. If you could turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 to 18. We're going to focus on the last three verses, but I want to read the whole passage. It's a beautiful passage many of you are familiar with. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 to 18. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause a giving of thanks to the bound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are not seen are eternal. Can you just pray with me real quick? Lord, we believe that you have a word for us today. God, we believe and we come here in anticipation, Lord, to fellowship with you. Lord, just speak to us, God, and just give us a word, Lord, and give us the eyes to see who you are and how you operate. In Jesus' name, amen. Just to give you an idea of what's going on in 2 Corinthians, Paul writes a letter to the church in Corinth, and he addresses a handful of issues. For one thing, he talks about the collection of churches so that they can use the funds to do ministry in Macedonia. He also addresses the affirming of his apostleship, Some other false apostles were trying to take claim to the church in Corinth. He writes in a letter to take care of some personal sin issue within the church so that when he comes, he doesn't have to deal with it in a harsh manner. And, Paul's accused by members in the church of being hot-headed, you know, being really strong and sturdy in his letters. But it's not hard to find, as you read through 2 Corinthians, the passion, the pastoral heart of Paul. And it's in this passage where we come upon a verse where he talks about the seen and the unseen, the temporal versus the eternal. So straight off the bat, can we agree that unless we have an intimate and day-by-day relationship connected with the Lord, heart-to-heart, eye-to-eye, that we can't see what Jesus sees, that we can't see beyond the physical, that we can't recognize what is temporary as to what is eternal, unless we have this divine fellowship with the Lord? Paul's writing this letter to the point of tears. He has a Timothy, basically, his right-hand man, and he has him actually bring this letter to the church in person. And Paul really has a heart to have the church recognize that what we go through here really is temporal. In verse 16, if you could look, therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. When I talk about having the eyes of Jesus, having the eyes of Jesus to be able to see, basically what we're talking about is an eternal perspective, right? Being able to see things beyond the physical. I met a girl about 16 years old. She was a refugee. She fled her home country. And she had been abused. She had been sold into trafficking. She had been imprisoned. She had been sexually abused over and over. And I had a chance to sit with her and just to share time with her. And you would never guess, just by looking at her face, the things that she had gone through. All you could see when spending this time with her was the love that she had for Jesus. You could see that though her body had been broken down, that though her outer physical body was decaying, that her inside, that her spirit had been renewed. And you knew that she was in love with the Lord. You knew that she was being refreshed day by day. I met another boy about 18 years old, and similar situation. He left his country, was captured, sent back. Sent into prison, tortured. To this day, you can see how malnutritioned he is. He saw a couple of his good buddies pass away in prison. And today, he's in a safe place, basically learning about the Bible so that he can go back to the very place and to the very people that did these things to him. And I'm telling you, you can't do these things. You can't have this kind of perspective. You can't see beyond the physical, beyond the pain, unless you have the eyes of Jesus, unless you have this relationship where God is constantly speaking into you and giving you the ability to see beyond. On the flip side, right, if you're not having your relationship with the Lord, if you're not connected, if you don't have the eyes of Jesus, so to say, when your body breaks down, what happens? Man, we get depressed, right? We lose heart. I hurt my back a few years ago, and I have trouble sometimes. I have to be careful the manner in which I pick up my son, Micah. I mean, it's not so bad. It's not like I need a crutch or anything. But there are certain angles where I have to be careful. Or otherwise, I might lose my force, and I might actually sandwich him. And so that's something that actually, you know, when your body breaks down. Sorry, I kind of lost my train of thought. But and I lost it again. So anyways, my point is, if we're not in tune, when our bodies break down, we can also lose heart. I don't know how. I was sharing this with my teachers. We had a teacher staff meeting on Friday. And somehow I've managed to collect a whole slew of lotions. I'm not embarrassed that much. I have a facial gel, right? That got into my cabinet somehow. I got a facial scrub. I got a night cream. I got day cream. I got ab rescue. That was actually a gift. Yeah, that stuff doesn't work. These things sell for a reason, right? And people want to preserve. People want to maintain. People want to even restore. But these things are all temporal, you know? They do nothing for our soul. And that's Paul's point exactly. His focus is on the inner, not on the outer. Paul's writing this message in the midst of sufferings and trials and hardships. He's been shipwrecked. He's been tortured. He's been starved. He's been persecuted by the Romans. He's even been persecuted by Christians, members within the church. And it's in the midst of this that Paul says, though my body breaks down, I don't lose heart, because my spirit is renewed day by day. In verse 17, he goes on to say, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison. Right? Momentary, quick, light. And don't get this wrong. This doesn't mean the hardships, right? The persecution as Christians, or whether it be a sacrifice or a service unto the Lord, something you give. It doesn't mean these things aren't difficult. It doesn't mean these things don't hurt. It doesn't mean that it doesn't ring in the core and you go through these hardships. It means compared to what we receive in the end, you can't even compare it, right? Momentary and light compared to what we're going to get. And so some of us are here, right? And I'm sure in my youth as a Christian, I've been one of those persons who compared. Well, tell me exactly, what does it mean? What am I giving up now? And what am I getting later in eternity? Some of us need that sort of quantifying, right? And I think we're missing the point, right? The Bible talks about some people receiving a crown, like a heavenly reward. Talks about the Heavenly Father having rooms available for his believers. I can't give you all the details, but we know and we believe that it's going to be good, right? We believe that what we have in heaven is going to be great, right? There's a singer, some of you guys may be familiar, Keith Green. I believe it was the 70s. It might have even been early 80s. It's kind of had that like 70s groove. And the music itself kind of was okay for me, but I really liked the words. He was straight up. I mean, he just told you know, repent, stop doing this, worship the Lord. And before one of his songs, he basically is sharing and saying, if God created this earth in 6 days, as beautiful and some of the places that you've been able to go and visit, if God created this earth in 6 days, and if he's been working on heaven for thousands of years, he basically said, this place we're living in is a garbage can. Right? It's nothing, right? And Paul's saying, beyond all comparison. So if I were to say to you, hey, $1 million, that's nothing, right? That's not true. $1 million is something. $1 million is a lot of money, right? But if you compare that to $10 billion or $1 trillion, right? Paul's saying, look, you can't even compare, right? I once had a personal dialogue with myself, with the Lord. It was in my first year of ministry. And I asked myself, well, why am I in ministry? Why am I doing this as opposed to, you know, perhaps some other things I could do? And I had a moment where I was just imagining and speaking with the Lord. And I imagined myself passing on, basically dying, and entering into heaven and coming face to face with the Lord. And before even exchanging words, before even saying a thing, it dawned on me at that moment the enormity, the fullness, the completeness of God's love for me. And I recognized that in my life, while I was living, because of the sin, though I knew in part, though I understood how much God loved me, though I understood the cross, and though I could grasp it to a certain extent, I couldn't fully receive, I couldn't fully comprehend. And so I recognized that when I got to heaven, there was no sin. And so it just kind of hit me, just all came upon me. And I realized, standing there before the Lord, before a word is exchanged, I realized, my God, you love me. You love me so much, right? I fully understand that now. God, let me go back, right? I want to go back, and I'm going to do this time even better. I'm going to live fully for you because I fully realize now. But you see, that's just it. You only get one chance. You don't get to go back. You only get this one life, right? And this is our place. This is our place where we have an opportunity to serve, to give, to suffer for the Lord, right? And Paul says here, that we're producing a weight of glory beyond all comparison. And some of the commentators, they couldn't write it up any better. It means literally that, an eternal weight of glory, something that's lasting, something that's solid. And again, if you're thinking, well, what does that look like? You know, help me compare. I need to visualize. Then again, I think we're missing the point. The point isn't necessarily just a reward or what we're going to get. Our reward is going to be being in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if we don't have these eyes, if we're not fellowshipping with the Lord, then we don't have the capacity to see beyond the physical. We don't have the capacity to understand and grasp. In verse 18, Paul goes on to say that we can see the unseen, right? He values the unseen over the seen. He values the eternal over the temporal. And think about this for a second, okay? Think about your jobs, each one of you, right? I would imagine that in some fashion or form, right, your ability to assess value, right, to attribute value, whether it be a fabric, whether it be raw materials, whether it be a property, an ingredient, a legal statement, an investment, right? Your ability to assess properly the value of what you're working on is a great part in how you are, whether or not you are successful in what you do. And a lot of you are very successful in what you do. Well, in the same way, in our Christian life, right, our ability, our fruitfulness, the fullness in which we live this Christian life is dependent upon our ability to assess what is eternal and what is temporal. And if we miss that, then, you know, I don't have to be the one to tell you that if we don't have that, if we don't have that kind of relationship with the Lord, that even as Christians, right, how empty and how pointless things become, right? We get shielded, right? And so we need to make that our prayer today. We need to make it our prayer that God, give us eyes to see as you see. Lord, give me the heart to feel as you feel. Give me the words and the actions to do as you do. Think about some basic examples that that most of us know, right? Abraham, at an old age, he's asked to leave his home. And God tells him, I'm going to make you a father of many nations, right? He leaves. Think of Moses, right? One man and his brother go into the face of Pharaoh and demand that he release the Israelites. And he goes, right? Consider David, right? Just a little kid, right? Goes to the front lines, not to fight. He goes to bring some provisions for his older brothers who are soldiers, right? And he recognizes all these Israelites. The fear struck in their hearts because this giant 7-foot, 8-foot Philistine is hurling insults at them and at their God. And this little kid, he goes, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that is taunting our God, the New Modern Version would say, right? And he basically, you know, comes before and defies the armies of the living God. And he goes and he takes a stone and he slays him. You can't do these things. You can't see and experience God in this way if you don't see beyond the physical, if you don't value the eternal over the temporal. And I'm not saying don't use lotion. I'm not saying don't exercise, right? Because I like lotion, right? That's not the point. The point is we focus more on the inner than we do on the outer. Consider one last example. Jesus Christ, right? Right before at the cross, at the Garden of Gethsemane as he prays, right? He has an opportunity. He's in a situation, right? He looks at the cross, right? The physical will tell him, right? Man, that's not a fun place, right? That's a piece of wood, right? And those are nails sitting on the floor. And those things are going to be driven into my body, right? The physical will tell you, this is going to be a world of pain, right? But if you can look beyond the physical, right, Christ can look at that cross and say, man, that's eternal weight of glory, right? When he looks at that cross, he doesn't see wood, right? He sees each and every single one of our faces, right? And that's his eternal weight of glory. Our eternal weight of glory, right, it's not anything we can hold in this world, right? It's what we have in heaven, something we add to, something we gain. Our reward is in Jesus Christ. So I want to make that our simple prayer, right? And I want to have a passage that I actually want to read to you, but it's filled with a lot of pictures. So I know you're not kids, but if you guys could just close your eyes, Right? It's actually my favorite passage of all time. And I just want you to consider. Right? Consider whether or not we have the eyes to see. Consider where our time has been going. Consider what purchases, what investments, our relationships. Consider all these things. And how have you been looking at these things? How have you been valuing these circumstances and situations? Right? Just make it your prayer today along with me. Lord, give me the eyes to see as you see. God, help me to recognize physical circumstances are more than that. And I want to close by reading this passage. Then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, on either side, the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will no longer be any night. They will not have the need of light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. Father, we just want to thank you, God, for this reminder that you give to us, Lord. God, that though our bodies break down, Lord, that we don't lose heart. God, we believe in our fellowship with you that renews our spirit day by day. God, we believe that the sacrifices, that the hardships, that the service we give to you, Father, is producing for us, God, an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. God, give us the eyes to see the unseen. God, help us to recognize what is eternal, God, and what is not. Lord, we thank you so much that, Lord, you don't just give us an instruction and hope to meet us at the end, but God, that you walk with us day by day, Lord, and that you fellowship and that you show us the way. God, I pray for this church. God, I pray for Solomon's Porch. And Lord, I ask Jesus that you would direct us, God, and that we would have humble hearts, Lord, to ask you where to go, what to say. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.